Pro-Con Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN, WGN everywhere, the WGN app, all the places one can get us in the many, many varied places that we exist. Yes. And coming up after 5:35 today, we'll also be on the World Wide Web, WGNradio.com, if you want to continue to listen as we continue on. And as we WGN Radio goes to the White Sox pregame show, we continue on.
We do.
But that it, again, get the app. It's the greatest thing. Or your smart speaker. You can tell your smart speaker, whatever her name happens to be, what to do just to listen to WGN Radio on TuneIn or just play WGN Radio. They'll find it. Speaking of smart speakers, later we are going to play for you the Superfans Brett Favre bit that they did in advance of the 100th anniversary game tomorrow night. And
turns out Bears fans have their own smart speaker. That supplies you with interesting data that sort of skews Bears on all things.
Yes, it's great. It's really perfect. All right, Richard Roper, let's get some reviewing in.
Yeah, a couple of big movies I want to talk to you guys about. One, a big commercial movie. Another, a big movie in terms of, I think, very interesting topic. Let's start with It Chapter 2. Now, we were just here 2 years ago when the film adaptation of Stephen King's huge, in most more ways than one, like 8 million page and very successful novel. They adapted that for television years ago, and they finally did a movie version a couple of years ago, which was only made for $30 million. They didn't really know, you know, because Stephen King, you know, they either turn into great movies like Misery and Shawshank Redemption and Christine, or they kind of, it's just hard to capture horror, especially because he does it in such a smart and different way. Then the thing made like $600 million in profit.
Wow.
Big ratings, great, you know, reviews. So they immediately went to work on It Chapter 2. Here's the basic story for people who don't know. It's set in the town of Derry, Maine, a small town where every 27 years or so, a clown named Pennywise resurfaces and starts taking the lives of the little children in the town. And Pennywise has been around for some 500 years, a very evil entity. It starts off with a little boy chasing his paper boat down the street as it's going in the rain, you know, through the curb and into the sewer. And he reaches for the boat, and we never see that little boy again until much, much later, and he's not in good shape. Now, in the original, it's a two-part story. In the original, the kids who banded together to fight the clown, they called themselves the Losers Club because they were. It was the bully. It was the overweight kid. It was the little girl who was being abused by her father. All of these kids who had all these problems and overcame them and banded together to destroy Pennywise the clown. They made a pledge. If Pennywise ever came back to their hometown, no matter where they were, they would band together, reunite to take down the clown again. So the second part of the movie is set 27 years later, in present day. So they're all around 40 years old now. The grown-up versions of the kids. They've scattered far and wide, but now they've gotten the call from the one member of the group who stayed in town saying Pennywise is back. So now we've got Jessica Chastain as the grown-up version of one of the kids. Bill Hader as the grown-up version of one of the kids. And this is a clip of them all talking about getting the call from their one friend saying they got to come back to fight Pennywise.
When Mike called me, I threw up.
When Mike called me, I crashed my car.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Man, I hear you. I mean, my heart was literally like pounding right out of my chest.
I thought it was only me.
It was like pure fear. It's fear. Why'd we all feel like that, Mike?
You remember something we don't you, Mike?
Something happens to you when you leave this town. The farther away, the hazier it all gets. But me, I never left. So yeah, I remember all of it.
Pennywise.
It's never good when Pennywise comes back. Bill Skarsgård, who is the brother of Alexander Skarsgård and the son of Stellan Skarsgård, he plays the clown, and it's brilliant. I like this film, and I'm giving it 3 stars. Now, I'm not giving it 4 stars, which I gave to the first half, even though it's equally well-made, and the story about the clown is equally terrifying. The reason I didn't find it as impactful and as visceral and as emotional is when you're watching 12-year-olds battle evil personified, you just root for them and you feel for them so much. When it's Bill Hader and Jessica Chastain and they're 40, there's a part of you wants to say, oh, just punch the clown. It's a clown.
Hey,
even though it's more than just a clown.
All right.
So that's the big difference there, I think, that it's just hard, you know, you're not quite as invested when the little kids band together. You're so identifying with them. And now it's a bunch of grown-ups against the clown. makes it more of a standard horror film. It's about 2 hours and 40 minutes, ooh, by the way. They don't mess. I mean, they take their time kind of telling everybody's story, and they have all these amazing set pieces and special effects. But mainly it is still the story of, you know, they're still haunted by the demons. The clown preys on whatever really scares you or haunted you the most, and still does to this day. And that's always a very, you know, kind of clever way to have evil. Evil that gets inside your head.
So this wasn't part of the original book, which
it
is super long.
Book, it is still the book was both halves. Yeah, and they made the smart decision when they made the movie. They're like, let's not try to cram all of this into one movie. Let's tell the kid's story. It's a perfect way to end it. Because the first movie, if you never saw the second movie, it's like, that's great. That's the story of the 11, 12-year-old kids who defeated Pennywise the Clown. But, you know, if you read the book, you realize he does come back 20 years later, and you have to battle them again. And one of the strange things is they kind of have forgotten about it because it's been erased, kind of like a trauma, and now it's all coming back to them. And man, there's some, don't even think, if you take your kids to this movie,
Pennywise the DCFS
clown should come visit you, actually, because it is really, really intense. And that's the thing, in both of these movies, there are times when, in, you know, within the reality of the movie, little kids are killed by the clown. Oh, it's not just, oh, they get scared or they get taken away. And it's horrifying when it happens. You know?
Yeah.
It happens a couple of times in this movie as it did in the original. I mean, when Pennywise the clown takes the little kid, they don't go to a place and then come back one day, I'm saved. It's not like an Avengers movie where time stood still. They're dead. That, I mean, he's that evil. He you know, literally feeds on children's souls.
Oh.
And that's what makes it terrifying. If not, he doesn't just dance in your face and squirt a water balloon at you, you know.
Does he do any clown stuff? I didn't see that.
Well, Pennywise, the image of Pennywise, he's one of the creepiest looking monster clowns in movie history. You'll see a lot of people in Halloween costumes this fall. Yeah. Don't do that.
I can't do clowns.
You might find yourself in the wrong position where people haven't seen the movie. Because, yeah, I mean, you know, the makeup on this guy and the special effects, he's the creepiest clown ever. Even his clowns. Red balloon is evil, believe it or not. There's a way that the red balloon kind of turns sort of evil.
I'm not afraid of many things, but the clown thing, that really gets me. That's why I've avoided those. I don't know. Is it growing up with John Wayne Gacy and that kind of thing? I mean, you know, I don't know. Yeah. That or so history. Maybe it's a common thing.
I think
it is a common thing. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it is. I mean, some people just cannot handle the clown.
No.
Well, when you look at, you know, for you know, dating back for centuries, some of the makeup and, you know, antics of the clown, they're pretty evil, you know, even when they're messing with kids. There's something kind of vindictive about a lot of clowns.
Ooh.
I just know that Bozo picked me up by my collarbone once.
Again, yeah.
That was
see?
The
haunting.
That's all I needed to know about the clown.
Get over here, kid.
Right. I got lost on the set. I was in the game at the end of the Bozo Circus.
Of course you were.
Yes.
Of course you were.
And
Rose's version of it.
Yeah.
I wish we had video of this.
And it was, you know what? It's funny because I tried to figure out a way to do it, to find it. We did try this, but they were like, are you kidding me? At Channel 9? They're like, no, we don't have that.
Yeah, too bad.
The museum might have it. I don't know. But I'll never forget it. It was the fall of 1972. And the game was a ping pong ball in a plastic cup. And you'd have to, how many times could you tip it, you know, like drop the ball out of the cup and then pick it up with the cup and, you know, just keep going, right? And that was because they did
simple enough.
Yeah, simple. And it was a famous ping pong ball because it was the one from the grand prize game. Yeah.
Sure was.
So anyway, mine got away from me after the first one, of course. And I ran behind a set piece at Channel 9. And again, I'm 8 or 7 or something, right? I don't even know what I am. 8, I guess. And the thing is just, it's like, no, getting away, and I get behind, and the next thing I know, I feel on my clavicle, I feel 2 fingers in a white glove. And it's Bozo literally picking me up with one hand from my clavicle and placing me back in the camera shot. And I'm like, ow, ow! You know, it's like it was bad.
He's hurting me. He's hurting me.
Mother, get him! Have him arrested! Jeez. I can just picture it.
Giant clown with and size 20 shoes coming after him.
Right, and me wearing a blue blazer and a captain's hat. Yes.
Penny loafers. Or picture it.
You dress like Thurston Howell. Yeah. That was really something.
Jeez.
See?
Scarier than
these are where clown
too.
Things come from.
Richard Roper is brought to us by Architect of Chicagoland, by the way, in case anybody's wondering. They're proud. All right, let's get to the other stuff. We'll get to the Morgan Spurlock follow-up to Supersize Me.
Yeah.
He's got Supersize Me 2, Holy Chicken, And you also are going to tell us about this kind of a rather interesting concept here. Keira Knightley as a real-life British intelligence agent who in 2003 went public with documents.
Mm.
We're going to talk about
I
that.
I like the premise.
And right now, let me do this while we're here, and then we'll come back and more of Richard Roper. But caller number 34 at 312-981-7200 wins a $50 gift certificate to Bartolini's Restaurant, family-owned and operated, the best Italian cuisine in Chicagoland, shipping to all 50 states, home of the Bartolini 10-pound meatball sandwich challenge. Their newly renovated bar and dining room offers 24 beers on tap, including many local brews. Visit bartolinis.com. All right, caller number 34, 312-981-7200. All right, let's check in now with Kim Gordon. What's going on in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom?
More legal wrangling today in the cases of R. Kelly and Jesse Smollett. We'll have the details coming up.
Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancis. Richard Roper is here. And he's doing his reviewing. It, the sequel, It Chapter 2.
It Chapter 2. 3 stars for It Chapter 2.
Did not 100% love it. Pretty grisly. Don't take your kids.
Yeah, more admired than really got into it. We'll talk about Super Size Me 2. It's been almost 15 years since. Remember Super Size Me? Morgan Spurlock did the experiment where he ate nothing but McDonald's food for 30 days. And, you know, it was a brilliant way to show what that will do to you. And he's kind of a performer in the vein of Michael Moore, kind of an engaging on-air presence. So when he did that documentary, it became a big hit, kind of launched him to a sort of celebrity filmmaker status. And spoiler alert, by eating McDonald's food for 30 days, he gained like 20 pounds, his cholesterol skyrocketed, he could no longer function in his marriage, so to speak, and he became very depressed. Now he's got Super Size Me 2, Holy Chicken. And it, again, a very clever stunt. This time out, the guy who's been kind of battling the fast food world for 15 years decides he's going to open his own chicken franchise in Columbus, Ohio, and call it Holy Chicken. So it's a great way for him to kind of get inside the whole inner workings of the fast food industry, and especially the chicken, as we just saw with the Popeyes craze. Chicken has surpassed beef as the most consumed fast food in America, which is kind of incredible when you think about it.
Yeah.
It surpassed the hamburger. There are 21 billion chickens on the earth right now, something like that. And many of them don't make it all the way to old chicken age, as you may know. So as you would expect from this movie, you see the obligatory scenes where you get the little teeny cute baby chicks are born. And in just 6 weeks, they are super chickens. They have perfected the artificial growth of these beasts to 6 weeks, these poor birds, before they're slaughtered. And then he's got some side-by-side. Here's a normal chicken born on a farm, hatched on a farm. Here's an artificially grown chicken. It's like 4 times the size. It looks like Tony Mandarich when he was like the offensive lineman, like the first guy to really kind of blow up. So and of course this means these poor chickens, I mean, they have heart attacks, they die of all kinds of horrible ways before they're even slaughtered. What I found even more interesting, because we've seen a lot of that kind of stuff, we kind of know that you don't want to know what's going on with Big Chicken with Tyson and all that.
Yeah, I know.
But he really digs deep and dives deep into the whole marketing advertising thing, which we all kind of know is happening, but we all fall for it. All these terms like organic and no additives.
Free range,
which has no legal definition whatsoever, means nothing. Free range means nothing.
It's kind of a vision in your mind.
Natural, the fact that, you know, a lot of things come in those brown wrappers, which make us feel like, oh, that must be recycled somehow or organic. Even the terms that are used, you know, heart healthy. The healthy halo they put around stuff, you know, like the market stuff. Almost none of that is regulated. Almost all of that is pure marketing. So when he opens his chicken restaurant, he has full transparency. So, like, the walls are painted in that kind of avocado green and, like, in that kind of fun, scripty, you know, cursive type of thing. It says, this wall has been painted a lively shade of green to make you feel like you're in a healthy place. You're not. This meal, and he has a picture of the sandwich, will be all of your calories for the entire day. You know, so he goes with the kind of transparent thing. So here's a little clip where some people are talking about how these terms really mean nothing, but really work on us.
My free-range, cage-free, no hormones added, humanely raised, natural chickens can get the USDA's seal of approval.
Sounds amazing.
Until you start to realize how much of that is labeling.
They've been health-washing the dirty, unhealthy truth.
Fresh green herbs give a health halo.
The term fried has evolved to crispy.
Artificial grill marks.
You can paint them on with dark food coloring.
How healthy are our sandwiches? I think that answers my question.
And they really do that. They, you know, you get your grilled chicken and go, oh, look at that. They can paint the grill marks on them. And I guess I knew that thing about crispy, but didn't. That's all that means. No, they'll never say fried anywhere now, except for maybe in the South, because it's become such a dirty word. I don't want to, you know, that's why Kentucky Fried Chicken is now KFC, to get the fried, and they just say crispy. And every single chain he went to, he'd ask, what's your most popular dish? The crispy chicken sandwich. What's the healthiest? The grilled chicken. What do people always get? The crispy. So 3 stars for Super Size Me 2, mainly because I think it's really fascinating to see how we're being manipulated. Even though we know we're being manipulated, we're still being even manipulated even more than we think.
Excellent. And then finally, Keira Knightley is a real-life British intelligence agent. True story here?
Yeah, I'm giving 2.5 stars to Official Secrets. It's very well done. I think if you could write a book about it, it'd be more interesting. She's working for the British government in 2003. She starts seeing memos where the U.S. government is enlisting the Brits' help in blackmailing UN Security Council members into voting for the Iraq War. And then she eventually is tried for basically treason, the version of treason in Britain. It's all a true story. It's very all the president's men. It just it should have more urgency to it. It's all true. It all really happened. She was a brave patriot for her country because she didn't want to lie to get us into that war we never should have gotten into. So if you want to, if you're interested in that stuff in particular, it's well made. It should be faster paced, I thought. 2.5 stars.
All right. Well, you've laid it all out perfectly for us.
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Quite a range.
Thank you very much. Yeah. We got a top 5 of 5 coming your way after the news in 2 minutes.